I got saved and went out and got stoned. But not because I wasn't saved. It was because my mind wasn't renewed yet. It was because I didn't know how to break free of my actions and behaviors. If I have to change all those things in order to get saved, I would be doomed for the rest of my life. That is a lie and a false gospel that you have to stop doing all of your sins so that Jesus can forgive you. That is pathetic. It is ridiculous. It is religious. It is the Pharisees preaching. It is self-righteous. I don't care who told you that. I don't care how you grew up. I don't care what religion or what church or what famous pastor told you that. It is wrong. It is unbiblical because we are not saved by our good works. We are not saved by changing. We are changed by His salvation. The salvation is a gift, and then it leads us to repentance. God gives us the gift of salvation, and it leads me to change.
Well, as promised, today is your day. Today is the day I told you about last week. Your inside out revolution begins right here, right now. I'm about to take you into our auditorium for what could very well be the most significant and life-changing message you've ever heard. It's our 2019 Fast from Wrong Thinking launch today. It's not a fast from food, so be encouraged. You can eat whatever you want. I believe, though, this fast was given to me by God. Listen to what one of our viewers wrote me in our previous Fast from Wrong Thinking. He said, I began to receive the 40-day Fast from Wrong Thinking in a very bad time in my marriage. My wife moved out, and I realized she wasn't coming back. He said, after 20 days into the Fast from Wrong Thinking, I angrily told her to get out of the house. 4 days went by, and I realized she wasn't coming back. She said the pain was too great. On day 38 of the Fast from Wrong Thinking, it still looked hopeless. But on day 39, he said, everything changed. I read your message and began to expect the tables to turn, just like the Bible says. And at noon, my wife came home. Something had happened in her heart, and she felt like she could give me one last chance for our family. The Lord restored my family back, and I'm a different man. Wow, that's one of the thousands of testimonies we receive when people fast from wrong thinking. It changes your life forever. And listen, here's how it started a number of years ago. I was frustrated when I saw so many people desiring change in their lives, but failing to see results. Out of this frustration, God spoke to me and said, call my people to a fast. I was a little resistant, but he said, not a fast from food, a fast from wrong thinking. In that moment, a movement was born, which has powerfully impacted hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around the world. Again, it's not a fast from food, but it's literally abstaining or fasting or eliminating wrong mindsets and wrong thoughts that keep us limited and keep us defeated, one thought at a time. So let's go into the teaching, and I'll be back in a few more moments to tell you more. Check this out.
When Adam and Eve sinned, they're separated from God. Now, this will explain the condition that everybody experiences and the world is experiencing today. And he said, your sorrow and your conception, you will have sorrow in your life and in your conception, and in pain, you're going to bring forth children, and your desire will be to rule over your husband, but he will rule over you. And you've got to go to the Hebrew language to see when he says your desire will be to your husband. It doesn't mean she will desire her husband. It means she will desire to usurp her husband, but he shall rule over her. Both of those things are a curse. Both of those things are wrong. God didn't create the man to rule over his wife, and God didn't create the woman to rule over her husband. Both of those things are the byproduct of the curse. And what I'm trying to say is there's three things that set in to mankind's soul and psyche. The moment that Adam and Eve sinned, three things set in. Well, there's really four. Fear was the first one, but the three that are in this passage of Scripture that I want to focus on is sorrow, that's depression, sadness, loneliness, emptiness, that's sorrow. Number two is pain. So he says you'll have pain in as you bring forth children. How many have children? You have pain. All right. Oh, God, help us. So, and I'm kind of joking, but I'm not. You know what I mean? So three things. What do you have? What is the result of being separated from God? What is the result of sin? And I'm going to tell you what sin is, and you're going to have to look it up and study it if you don't believe me. But I'm going to tell you what it is in a few moments. But here, listen. He's number one, sorrow is going to multiply. Number two, pain. Now you're going to have sorrow, which wasn't in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. And now you're going to have pain, which was not in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. And now you're going to feel inferior and a need to dominate. So now you're going to feel inferior because now you're going to have this need to, because you're going to live now with this sense of inferiority because sin makes cowards of men and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, when he says fall short of the glory of God, that word short there is the word inferior. Inferior. So he said, because of sin, you become inferior to the glory of God. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them his glory. He made them in his image. They were glorious. They were in his image. And now they have, and they were made in his image to rule and reign over life, to rule and reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over everything that creeps and over all the earth. And so they had rulership over Satan. They had dominion over the serpent. They had dominion over the earth. They had dominion in life. And now that they have sinned, they have fallen short. They have become inferior to the person that God created them to be. And this is what happens before we get born again. We are living in sorrow, we are living in pain, and we are living in inferiority. And the cross of Jesus Christ deals a death blow like an arrow into the heart of your very flesh. The cross of Jesus Christ, it strickens the heart with joy and peace and happiness and delivers a man or woman from depression and sorrow. The cross of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, what God did for you, it strikes through the very heart of pain so that by his stripes you are healed. And the cross strikes right through the heart of inferiority because he was nailed to the cross, he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and he didn't rise alone. He said, you are risen with him and seated with him in heavenly places, and now you and I are kings and priests. The very cross of Jesus plunges through the heart of what sin did to mankind in giving them sorrow, pain, and inferiority. And let me tell you something. It is our absolute ignorance and lack of knowledge that is keeping us in sorrow, keeping us in pain, and keeping us in inferiority. It's our ignorance. It's not God's plan. It's not God's will to keep you in pain. It's not God's will to keep you depressed. It's not God's will to keep you in sorrow. It's not God's will to keep you feeling inferior and beneath yourself and beneath your destiny and beneath your value or lowered down to a less valuable person than who God created you to be. Your value is immense. Your destiny is greater than you could imagine. Your worth is precious. It's so precious that Jesus paid for you with his own blood. That's how valuable you are. That's how worthy you are. And he raised you up and gave you dominion and said, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign. We reign in life. Life doesn't reign over us unless we're ignorant, unless we remain ignorant, unless we remain ignorant of who we are, of who we are. What I want you to see is what Adam and Eve brought into the world, Jesus took from the world. Adam and Eve brought sorrow, Adam and Eve brought pain, and Adam and Eve brought inferiority. Jesus brought joy, Jesus brought healing, and Jesus brought righteousness and elevation. He elevated women. He elevated children. Let the children come to me. Women come to him at the well. Women come to him and who have been prostitutes. Women come to him and pour oil on his feet and wipe his feet with her tears. You know, Jesus elevated women. He had women following him. He had men following him, obviously, but he treated women equal. He loved men and women and children. Jesus loved everybody. Didn't matter where they came from. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus healed her daughter, and the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus healed her. And I mean, he did not withhold his healing from anybody because of their sex or because of their age or because of their race or because of their color or because of any sin that they had committed. He freely gave people. He's the best. He's the greatest. He is our Savior and our friend, and he's the lover of our soul, and he's the best thing that ever happened to me, and he's the best thing that ever happened to you. And if he's not the best thing that ever happened to you, then let me introduce to you the real Jesus. The real Jesus who came to bring good news. He said the good news is you don't have to work anymore to be saved. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. I'm saving you by my grace. The real Jesus says, let me heal you no matter what you've been going through, no matter what you've done to make yourself sick. I am going to make you well. I am here to heal you. It's a gift. The real Jesus says, let me renew your mind. Let me restore your soul. Let me deliver you from addiction. Let me deliver you from fear. Let me deliver you from selfishness. Let me deliver you from loneliness. Let me deliver you from whatever. Let me deliver you from the sickness. Let me deliver you from your pain. Let me deliver you from your sorrow. Let me deliver you from what you're going through. That's the real Jesus. The real Jesus, let me tell you about him. The real Jesus wants to sit down with you and study the Bible with you. As you sit down and read your Bible, he'll speak to you. He'll say, oh, check that verse out. Ooh, I wrote that one. Ooh, I said that one. That was my quote. That was me. I want you to. Jesus wants to have fun with you. He wants to rejoice with you. He wants to laugh with you. He wants to cry with you. He wants to say, give me your heart. Okay, I see some broken areas in there. Here, let me heal it. Let me remold it. And the Bible says, and he reshaped the clay while it was on the potter's wheel. He saw that it was marred in Jeremiah 18. And what did he do? He took it and he reshaped it again and healed it. This world is hurting, folks. This world is suffering. We need to wake up. We have the answer. We don't need to wake up like, we need to wake up and be better people, holier people. We need to be kinder people. We need to be more merciful people. You want to know what holiness is? Holiness is mercy. You want to know what real holiness is? Holiness, real holiness is agreeing with God. That's real holiness. You want to know when you're unholy? When God shares his opinion, but you want to argue with him about your opinion. Your opinion is unholy unless it agrees with God. That's what holiness is. Holiness is to agree with God, because God's right and God's smart and God is the truth. And so when I'm agreeing with him, I'm holy. I'm set apart for good things now because I agree with God. When I disagree with God, I'm in sin. This is what sin is. This is what I wanted to get to. That sin, in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come to the world. He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then he defines in verse 8, I believe, or verse 9, what sin is. He says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin. He said he'll come and convict the world in verse 8 of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9 says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So now, the sin that the Holy Spirit is trying to convict us of is not our smoking in the boys' room. I'm not saying to smoke. I'm not encouraging you to do unhealthy things, but that's not the sin that the Holy Spirit's going after or convicting us of. The sin is not the drinking. The sin is not the cussing. The sin is not, the sin that he came to convict us of is not our behavior. The sin that he came to convict us of is our belief. He said, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. Now, don't take this the wrong way and say, oh, the pastor's preaching that it's okay to sin. I didn't say it. First of all, I'm saying it's not okay to sin, but I'm defining what sin is. Sin is to not believe in Jesus. That's what sin is. The most holy, righteous thing you can do is to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. And the moment you accept him as Savior and Lord, you're no longer in sin. You're in him. You can't be in both. You're in. Now, your behavior might be still screwed up. Like, I got saved and I went out and partied. Some of you are like, ooh, maybe you're not really saved yet. I got saved and went out and got stoned. But not because I wasn't saved. It was because my mind wasn't renewed yet. It was because I didn't know how to break free of my actions and behaviors. If I have to change all those things in order to get saved, I would be doomed for the rest of my life. Not because I keep doing those things, but because That is a lie and a false gospel that you have to stop doing all of your sins so that Jesus can forgive you. That is pathetic. It is ridiculous. It is religious. It is the Pharisees preaching. It is self-righteous. I don't care who told you that. I don't care how you grew up. I don't care what religion or what church or what famous pastor told you that. It is wrong. It is unbiblical because we are not saved by our good works. We are not saved by changing. We are changed by His salvation. Salvation is a gift, and then it leads us to repentance. God gives us the gift of salvation, and it leads me to change. I don't change and then get salvation. That's man-made religion, folks. If we can change to be saved, then why did Jesus even have to come? My behaviors have changed through my belief. My beliefs don't change through my behaviors. My behavior changes through my belief. As I believe right, I end up living right. And if I'm not in this area of my life, I'm not living right, it's because, okay, I need to adjust whatever I'm believing that is causing that behavior. I'm not going to focus on the behavior. I'm going to focus on the believing, and the believing is the root to the behavior. And see, this is Adam and Eve. This is when Adam and Eve truly sinned. It's not when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They truly sinned when they doubted who they were. So God said He made them in His image in Genesis chapter 1. But in Genesis chapter 3, the devil says, if you eat from this tree, you'll be like God. And they believed that, oh, okay, so let's eat from this tree so we can be like God. It sounds real good. We want to be like God, knowing good and evil. But they forgot who they were. They forgot they already were made in God's image. They didn't need to eat from that tree to be made in God's image. We do need to eat from a tree to be in God's image, but it's not the tree of knowledge of good and evil that we need to eat from. We eat from the tree of Calvary. We eat from the tree that Jesus died on. The moment you eat from that tree, you are now made in God's image. You are now a son or daughter of God. You are now more than a conqueror. You are now the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That's who you are now. And listen, you think this isn't a problem in the world? Do you think this isn't a problem in the body of Christ today? Depression is now the leading cause of disability worldwide. It is the leading cause of disability worldwide, according to the National Alliance of Mental Illness. If you feel dark right now, if you feel unhappy right now, you can do something about it. You can change what you believe. You can medicate it for a season, but medication wears off. Meditation never wears off. Meditating on God's word day and night will bring eternal joy and happiness into your life. What caused unhappiness in the Garden of Eden is the same thing that causes unhappiness today. They stopped believing what God said about them. They started blaming each other. They started condemning themselves. And all the unhappiness that came out of the Garden of Eden distorted the mental and emotional well-being of all of mankind from that moment forward. And that's why Jesus comes first to save us, to make us born again. And then the second thing he does after he preaches the gospel to us in Luke chapter 4, He said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, which was all of us were poor in our sin. He said, the first thing he comes is to preach the gospel to the poor, and the second thing he comes is to heal the brokenhearted. All of the pain in this world is a result of beliefs and damage that is done to the brain through trauma, scar tissue, emotional scar tissue, trauma, abuse, whatever we've done to create pathways to our pleasure, the pleasure center of our brain. Now, don't tune out here. But the things we put into ourselves to make us happy create artificial pathways to the pleasure center of our brain, where the endorphins are, and the serotonin and the dopamine and the stuff that you've been getting tired of me talking about for the last several months. But it's so important that we understand that chemicals made by plants, made by drug creators, they carry the same opioids and chemicals that ride on the pathway to the pleasure centers of our brain. They're neurotransmitters that ride to the pleasure center of our brain. I don't mean to sound like I'm that smart, but I've studied this at least enough to know. Now, several other things that God gave us are the original pathways to the pleasure centers of our brain. Salvation is a pathway to the pleasure center of our brain. God's promises create a pathway to the pleasure center of our brain. Thankfulness and gratitude. Scientists have proven that gratitude is a pathway, or it rides on the pathway, was the original pathway to create the serotonin, which is what opioids do. They manufacture temporary opioid to get to the pleasure center, to tap in and ride on that pathway to get to the pleasure center of your brain so you feel pleasure and no pain. Those pathways have to be retrained. We have to redirect. We have to stop using artificial substitutes to create those pathways and start using the promises of God, the table of communion, the speaking God's word, thankfulness and gratitude, which literally changes the dynamic, the chemistry of our brain, and brings us back to the condition that God created Adam and Eve in when he first created them. And that's why he says, you are transformed, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the rewiring of your brain is what he's literally saying. The renewing of your mind is the rewiring of your brain so that the neurotransmitters that go to the pleasure center of your brain are created by the word of God, the promises of God, gratefulness and thankfulness and worship and praise. And generosity. These create the accurate and correct pathways to the pleasure center of your brain. And in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And when you know who you are, you're seated at the right hand of God with Jesus. It will create pleasure. It will create pleasure. Pleasure was God's idea.
Well, there's an old expression that says the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I believe God wants our minds transformed and powerful and not left alone to be shaped by negative, limited mindsets of our upbringing or our pain or our past or this world system. No, that's what fast from wrong thinking is all about. And did you know that people experience an average of 60,000 thoughts a day? That's about one thought per second while you're awake. Amazingly, 95% of those thoughts are the same thoughts repeated every day. And on average, 80% are negative, according to the Cleveland Clinic. That's about 45,000 negative thoughts per day, after day, after day, after day. Folks, that's a whole lot of wrong thinking. That's why we need a revolution. That's why Paul gave us Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is the rewiring of your brain. Now listen, so that the neurotransmitters that go to the pleasure center of the brain are converted with the word of God and with the promises of God. You might say, well, I'm not a brain surgeon, so how can I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, and it's 100% free. Number one, I want you to go online right now, or you can call from your phone. The address is on your screen, the number as well. And this is what you'll see, right? What I'm putting on your screen. Number two, enter your first name, last name, email address to join the Fast From Wrong Thinking journey. It's 100% free. Keep that up as long as we can, because I want people to get that. And number three, you'll receive a confirmation email. That's it. You're done. You're on the Fast From Wrong Thinking 40-day journey. And listen, go online right now. It'll change your life. Use your computer, your phone. The address is on your screen. And this is what you're going to see. And it's really a system that will change your life. Every day you'll get an email from me for 40 days. One thought at a time will take captive. And the experts say it takes 6 weeks, which is about 40 days, to break old habits and form new ones that last. And I want to help you to discover the new ones that God intended for your life, a life beyond your wildest dreams. Fast and Wrong Thinking has impacted millions of people. I could just read testimony after testimony, and I just want you to hear and experience all that God has for you. Freedom from every negative thought comes at you. It's time for your revolution. In fact, I want to send you my complete Fast from Wrong Thinking system to accelerate your freedom. Here is the book, Fast from Wrong Thinking, our revised edition 2019. Here's my announcer to tell you more. Check this out.
Accelerate your Fast from Wrong Thinking with the 5-CD series Fast from Wrong Thinking, featuring the same messages and principles which changed Gregory Dickow's life, along with countless others. We will rush this out to you today with any gift of $30 or more. With a gift of $60 or more, we will send you the Fast from Wrong Thinking system, which includes the original DVD teaching series, 5-CD series, Fast from Wrong Thinking, the 2019 printing of Fast from Wrong Thinking paperback book, and a beautiful leather-bound journal to capture your thoughts and notes on your journey. With a gift of $100 or more, Gregory Dickow will personally sign the Power to Change Today hardback book and include it with the complete Fast from Wrong Thinking system. Don't wait. We need to hear from you today. Your gift will be used to reach as many people as possible with the love of God. Imagine your joy as these precious people actually hear God's love letter for themselves and meet the Savior of the world. Our operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can go online right now to gregorydickow.tv.
Well, today is your day. I want to encourage you to call one of my operators right now in the next moment and take advantage of the 2019 Fast from Wrong Thinking. In fact, I'm wearing the same jacket that I'm wearing today. It will change your life forever and help us reach precious people who have been forgotten and minimized by society, all because they simply struggle to read. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person watching this broadcast. Say, give them hope that things can turn around beginning today. Their breakthrough starts today in Jesus' name. Now listen, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook, and connect with me, talk to me. I can't wait to connect with you. I look forward to being with you right here next week. And remember to set your DVR so you never miss one of our broadcasts. I can't wait to see you then. God bless.
Our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm into sprinklers that get the job done. How many have ever seen one of those sprinklers? You know those things that go... Those things are powerful. We weren't cleansed with some rainbow sprinkler. We were cleansed with this. Until it peels all the sin right off of you and peels all the condemnation and all the guilt and all the shame and all your regrets and all of your mistakes and all of your shortcomings, and all that's left is you washed by the blood of the Lamb.